Welcome to AI JCast, a podcast featuring conversations and performances at the intersection of art, inspiration, and justice. I'm your host, Marthame Sanders. On this episode, part one of our conversation with Julien Deschazier. Julien is a speaker, a pastor, and an MC who performs under the name JQuest, and he spoke with us from his home in Chicago. Julien Deschazier, welcome to AI JCast.
It's good to be here. You got that last name right on the first try, too.
Look, I mean, if you got a first name like Marthame, you better know how to pronounce other people's names. easily roll off the tongue. So
this is true. This is true.
You've got these dual vocations, for lack of a better phrase. It's probably a more effective way to put it, but these dual vocations of pastor and MC. And I'm curious to hear how those have evolved in your life. If these are both things that you grew up with, if there were things you grew into, if there have been times where you've seen them at conflict, where they've diverged, where they've come together. So let's just start there and see where that takes us. Pastor, MC, what do they or do they not have to do with you historically and presently?
Yeah, well, the MC came first. I'm a child of hip hop, grew up in the 90s on the south side of Chicago. And so I knew, you know, DeBrat and Crucial Conflict and Do or Die, all names that I hope, if you're listening and you know these, then I'm proud of you. This is great. Like, theology and Do or Die, like let's do this thing. And was just a child of hip hop. You know, I knew that language. That's what I listened to. The church I knew about, and my mother would make me go, but I wasn't as like locked in or plugged into life there. I was writing. I was like using hip hop as a way to find my voice and tell my story. It was really like I was into everything. If you took a 10-year-old kid today and was like, what are you into? They're going to say, you know, Migos, Drake. They're going to say whatever is popular, right?
Sure.
And that was me. I did not discriminate. I listened to New Kids on the Block, Crisscross, Snoop Dogg, all that stuff, right? Like, if it was on the box, that's what I was watching, all right? And so that was it. But it wasn't until I heard Common, his album in 97, One Day It'll All Make Sense. And that album really messed me up. He started telling some stories that really resonated with my own story.
I fight with myself in the ring of doubt and fear. The rain ain't gone, but I can still see clear. As a child, given religion with no answer to why. Just told, believe in Jesus, because for me he did die. Curiosity killed the catechism, understanding and wisdom became the rhythm that I played to and became a slave to master self. A rich man is one with knowledge, happiness, and his health. My mind had dealt with the books of Zen, Tao, the lessons, Quran, and the Bible. To me, they all vital and got truth within them.
The beats were just kind of different, you know, like it sounded like Chicago, it sounded like home, and it felt so familiar that I wanted to get to know more about the God he was talking about. And at this point, he's kind of in between this Christianity, black Muslim. You know, he's always had this kind of hybrid. And a lot of Chicago, black Chicago has actually. There's no one thing that stands out on the south side of Chicago. Like, it's all a blend of everything, you know?
And so
I had all that, knew about all that stuff. And really getting into Common was my way to get more interested in the church. And that was around the time, 13, 14, when I started to go to church and actually pay attention. Like, what are they saying? You know, let me see what's going on. And at that point, I just fell in love with it. It was a really good youth group that was, they would let you ask whatever you wanted. You know, the youth pastor who's cool and all that. You know, had that.
It's not towing the party line. It's respecting your intelligence and respecting your queries.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that really got me plugged in and pulled in a really deep way. I had contact with the church not only because my mother was making me go, but because when we had issues and needed a bill paid or some food or something, you know, they were like a social institution. And my first respect for the church came for them as a social institution.
Taking care of needs,
Taking care of needs, talking about things that matter to us out on the block. And so, the MC was always first. And as I grew more and more in love with the church and with this religion and what it could be, I was seeing what it was, but started to also think about what it could be for me, for my people, and for the things that matter most to me. The hip hop just never left, to be honest. Like, when I went to Morehouse, I was starting to learn and think a lot more about religion. I was a sociology major, so I still was into the social implications of something more than the theoretical. Yeah. That's always just been me, like the people watcher. I'm that person. And so, you know, get out of Morehouse. And at that point, I'm doing music, I'm recording albums, I'm touring. And I say, well, let me just, I think I'm going to end up at seminary because it just seems really curious to me. Like what goes on there seems very interesting to me. And I think if I'm going to do something that ends up playing into the life of the church in the future, I'm going to need to go there.
Yeah.
You know, at some point and learn some stuff. So it kind of felt like I would end up there at some point, but I took a couple years off just to tour, just to do music.
Right.
And really see what that could be like. As an indie artist, you know, the younger you are, the easier it is.
Crashing on couches and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I had nothing to lose at that point. So it was like, all right, let's go do this thing. And then after one of those tours finished, got back home. It was like, all right, I can make another album, go do that cycle again. And quite frankly, I just been burnt out.
Yeah.
You know, I needed to rest. I needed to be home for a second. That's how I ended up at University of Chicago Divinity School. And the rest, as we say.
Why would you go to the University of Chicago Divinity School? That's a crazy place to go.
Because I wanted to rest, right? Let me tell you, if nothing tells you everything about who I am, it's that I wanted to rest. So I went to the, University of Chicago.
Right. Yeah.
That's me, right there. That's it.
Yeah. So intellectual rigor is restful for you is what you're saying.
It is. Seriously.
So for listeners who don't know, this is something that Julia and I have in common. We're both graduates of the Master's of Divinity program at the University of Chicago, which is, you know, I have nothing but love for my time there. And yet it's just such a strange place because you rarely meet anybody else who is an alum of that program.
Right. And when I do, it's very exciting.
It is very exciting. It's like,
the land of the A minus, Swift Hall. I never got an A. I never got a B. I guess that's all right. You know.
Well, and I'm curious, there are spheres in which faith and music, whether it's rock, hip hop, are seen as at odds. And I'm wondering if that was ever something that was ever a pressure from the outside, a pressure from within, a question you had to ask, or was it that you had encountered folks like Common relatively early were like, okay, I see where this works.
Well, it's probably the reason I ended up at the University of Chicago, to be honest, was when I was a sophomore at Morehouse, I came back home and that summer did an internship at my home church where I had grown up, because at that point I was like, all right, I don't know if I'm going to work in a church or not. I have no idea. I need to like get some experience doing it. Mm-hmm. So I just went to pastor my home church. He had just shown up like a year or two before. So wasn't somebody who I knew very well,
right,
but respected, you know, had a relationship with and was supporting me. So I went there, worked. The internship ends and he's like, this is the first time I hear this. He's like, well, you got some talents for ministry. And when you're ready to take this thing seriously and get this music stuff up, let me know.
It's the classic church thing, right? It's like, oh, you've got this talent for music, but if you really want to serve God, give it up.
Yeah, that was bizarre for me.
Or just do this very narrow sliver of music.
That's right.
Right?
Even when I was like straight Christian gospel rapper, you know, was always still delving into some topics that were like, should you be talking about that? Or that's just always been my voice, you know, just telling that truth as a part of my story. And so hearing that these worlds didn't go together, hip hop and public ministry, was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And it was something that sent me kind of in exile. It sent me away from that church. Hmm. I love those folks, still love them, but I just knew I couldn't be there because I wasn't going to be able to show up fully. And it sent me out looking to other traditions. Like I said, I had not known that there was a such thing as like a denomination, you know, like it was a church. Yeah. Every church in Chicago is Baptist, period. It doesn't matter what it is. It's Baptist, you know. And so I didn't know that there was a difference, like a UCC and a Presbyterian and an Episcopal, you know, and all of that stuff made me then begin to ask, well, which of these traditions feels like it fits most with how I see and understand the world and what I'm dreaming about for the world.
Yeah.
And that's how I found the UCC. It was once I got to the UCC and started working with the youth and doing music inside of one of those spaces that the pastor there, Ozzy Smith, I always got to give him a shout out, then said, like, all right, so when you go into seminary? And I'm like, well, I'm not. I've chosen music. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was told I had to choose. I chose. I'm here volunteering. Like, I'm still down to help with the kids or whatever, but I'm doing this now.
Yeah.
And he then really opened up the world for me because he was a professional saxophone player. You know, he was a jazz musician, had recorded a CD and was pastoring and was living both of those vocations at the same time and taught me how to do the same thing. So the fact that I'm able to be in this space right now doing two full-time jobs, you know, very much full-time work is because of him and his example.
Yeah. Julian DeShazier on AIJCast. We'll be back with more of our conversation in just a moment, but first, a quick word. As always, I encourage you to visit the AIJCast website, AIJCast.com, which is where you'll find links to our artists, their news, information, and products. And among the things you'll find there are links to Julian's music, including his solo projects as JQuest, and his collaboration with Bree Veezy, where they record under the name Verbal Quest. And you'll find links to those and so much more on our website, AIJCast.com. And now, back to more of our conversation with Julian DeShazier. So digging into that, let's talk about those two full-time jobs. You pastor University Church, which is in Hyde Park. And then your last album, it's amazing. I can't believe it's been 6 years since your last full album.
Me neither.
Lemonade, which Beyonce stole her, all respect. She stole her album title from you the next year.
Come on, man. You're not getting me in trouble with the Beehive, man. I'm not doing it. I love you, Beyonce.
That's right. Yeah.
You're amazing.
Well, but I do want to talk about the album because it really does, I think, bring those two things together very well of hip hop and theology. It's not that narrow sliver gospel hip hop, but it's fused through with theology and a way of looking at the world. You've got this incredible guest appearance from the great Reverend Jeremiah Wright on that album as well.
The media always picks up the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, "I have a dream." Dr. Martin Luther King said much more than that. 1 year to the day before he was murdered, he preached at Riverside Church in New York a sermon titled, "A Time to Break Silence." We are not just fighting racism, we are fighting a three-headed demon: racism, militarism, and capitalism. Now that's what your Morehouse brother said, your Dr. Martin Luther King. What you got to say to that?
Tell us about that album. Are there any particular tracks that still, like 6 years later, are there tracks that you just kind of go back to and love listening to, ones that you still particularly give you life to do on stage, live?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that album is my baby, literally. You know, it was sort of made at the same time that my first daughter was coming up. She was born in 2013, and that's when I started making that album a little bit before, like right around 2012 is when I started working on that. And so, like, raising up something, a project, at the same time as raising up a human was a really fascinating process for me. And I still listen to it. I still love it and perform it. I still perform it. And with indie artists, your album, its release date is today's date.
Yeah.
Like, when did Lemonade come out? It came out today. Go listen to it. What are you talking about? The question is it going to sound like it came out today, or is it going to sound like, this clearly came out 5 years ago. And I think one of the gifts of Lemonade, and you'll see it for yourself when you go listen, is that, like, no, it sounds like what's out right now. It sounds modern, and the stuff that I'm talking about is still going on. Whatever Happened is the song with Jeremiah Wright, Reverend Dr. Jeremiah A. Wright Jr. Put some respect on his name, you know what I'm saying? And that was a special one for me, getting him into the studio. We still talk all the time. He's a mentor and father figure for me, and has taught me a lot about myself, even when I was in Swift Hall, because he was there for a little while too. So helped me really navigate those spaces, and then also gave me a lot of my courage as a musician, as a writer as well, to just like say it, you know. And you hear that a lot on Lemonade. Like, there are a lot of songs, Liquor and Pills or Trivial Relations.
So tell me what all the fuss is about. I want to fly, I feel stuck to the ground. The gravity of you here weigh me down. I try to lift, it's like 8 million pounds. Check this in, I want to live, but ain't no life with you. And we've been together so long, we just do. Granted, I know what you do, I'm your biography, cause I'm all about you. And I know that this song is only gonna make you more stronger. I am your protein.
ended a pawn in your chess game. Everything that's wrong with me is you. Everything I don't want, I do. Everything I heard about you is true. But I still had to learn myself playing these games.
And a lot of the confessional stuff that I'm talking about there comes out of the relationships with folks who I've seen here in Chicago who have done that work and have been so great at it, at using their voice, that was my first project where it felt like I was able to shape my voice in a way where when it's done, you really feel like that's how I wanted to say it.
And that's the thing that I love. There's a lot of autobiographical stuff in Lemonade, and it's the gift of art, I think, whether it's music or painting or whatever, I think the more personal it is, the oddly more connective it gets to be with people who may not share that personal experience, but somehow it resonates anyway.
The song I get the most messages about is Don't Push Me, the one about being bullied. And I tell that story and it's about me as a kid.
Walking down the hallway, wonder if I'm different from everyone I walk past. Wonder will they notice us, me and all the voices in my head. Feeling this close to the edge, and he said, don't let them get you, get into you, but that's a joke. When you wear the same pants and you sick of being broke, and you can't afford brands, and sick of hearing the jokes and pointing you too fat. Not pretty, not dope enough for cool kids. Man, we some cruel kids, but being happy with yourself, that's what real cool is. Cool, thanks mama, but you don't see the drama, and the bad don't stop it. You defenseless and you can't stop them from hitting you, crying in the mirror. Is it real, or will I still feel left at these small pills and this little box cutter I usually carry around and used to come down. So won't nobody push me, thinking to myself,
don't push.
Wishing I could say it out loud.
Don't push.
Feeling like I'm somebody else.
Don't push.
Being so alone, being
don't
so alone.
Push.
Feeling in my head.
Don't push.
Feeling like I'm running out of air.
Don't push.
Feeling but I'm close to the edge.
Don't push.
Feeling
don't
so
push.
Alone, feeling
don't
so alone.
Push.
And I get messages from parents of kids who are like, we were listening to your album. My kid heard that and just told me that they've been bullied. Mm. Didn't know how to talk about it before.
But your song gave them the language and the
gave them the
bravery,
language. And that, for me, that's the common moment. That's what I call it, right? Because that's what happened for me when he was telling his stories on joints that weren't even his best songs, you know, now that I am his biggest fan and go back, like, that wasn't, like, he'll never perform this song, you know? But, like, I loved it, and it was the door for me to get me in by just telling his truth. So I think you're absolutely right. Like, if we just tell the truth and do it with the best voice we have right now, being true to something like the gospel on Sundays, you know, or even for me, like the gospel in my music, like the theology's there. What I believe and what I think is key to my faithfulness, I share.
Yeah.
I just don't preach it there. You know, I just share it.
Well, and I what you just said, Don't Push Me, and how parents have reached out to you and essentially thanked you for helping their kids, being able to give them language and opportunity and courage to speak about situations where they're getting beat down. If we don't see that as ministry, then our understanding of ministry
is we got
deeply
it wrong.
Flawed.
And honestly, they're not even saying really thank you. They're saying like, what do I do now? That's why I see it as ministry, because it continues this, it's ongoing. Like, I still talk to some of these folks who are just like, hey, how are they doing? You know, they'll send me a message through social media.
Wow.
Just be like, yeah, they're doing good. And one day I might meet one of these young kids. Like, that'll blow me away, first of all. But that's what I do it for, you know, to be able to connect with folks.
Yeah.
It's my gift back to the world for the ways in which music has connected with me.
And it reminds me of the story in the Gospels where the disciples go to Jesus and brag about, you know, we found somebody who was casting out demons, but he wasn't doing it in your name, so he sent him away.
Right, right.
Like, he was doing good stuff. I mean, he was healing people, but it wasn't, he didn't never said Jesus.
That's right.
So that was the problem. And Jesus says, y'all screwed up.
Yeah.
Whoever's not against me is for me.
I can't tell you how much trouble I've gotten in across my music career because I haven't said Jesus enough. It was one of the reasons why I like stopped associating with Christian rap and gospel rap, because like I just wasn't welcomed inside of those spaces.
Yeah.
And in some ways it was fine because like I didn't listen to a lot of those artists anyway. Like it wasn't necessarily my social group, yeah. but it felt like these were folks who were doing what I was doing. They were peers. Let's yeah. work together, you know, yeah. but yeah. being like kicked out of those spaces, which really happened in 2008. I wrote a song for the Obama campaign. Mm. That's kind of where I came out as open and affirming.
Wow.
Whether I, you know, really let folks know, like, politically, I am progressive, not conservative. You know, like, this is how I see the world right now. And yeah, a lot of people just said, no, we not only can we not play this song, like, we can't rock with you anymore.
Wow. Wow.
One thing that has been great for it is for me allowing me in the midst of being exiled, remember from church earlier, but then from a Christian music community, is to just go be myself and yeah. just to be comfortable with wherever I was and whoever found me in that space. I was going to rock with them and see what life was like over there. So yeah. that's how spaces like Wild Goose Festival and other kinds of places that were like, we don't care. You just do your music. What are you talking about? Like, you know, yeah. like those have been some really life-giving spaces for me.
Julian DeShazier on AIJCast. You can find him online through his website, jquest.com. That's jquest.com. On our next episode, part two of our conversation with Julian DeShazier. AIJCast is made possible through the support of listeners like you. We can only do what we do because of that support, so please do take just a moment and go to our website, AIJCast.com, where you can click on the link that says support. And we love to interact with you on social media. We are there on a number of platforms where our handle is AIJCast. Our theme music comes courtesy of our house band, Marred Fame. And we are engineered, mixed, and produced by the somewhat judgmental Al Mudeef, who always listens to the end of the show to make sure he can check up on my diction.
You got that last name right on the first try, too.
And I'm your host, Marthame Sanders, encouraging you to go, rather stay put, create some beauty of your own, and remember that the world isn't truly beautiful until it's beautiful for all. Until next time, justice and peace!